Good morning, everyone. Yous are all very welcome to Trinity this morning, and anybody that is visiting with us is also equally and very much welcomed into our presence here this morning. Now, I've got a few announcements. Hopefully, I'll go through them quickly. Solid Ground this Tuesday will be not be happening, okay? And the reason for that, you'll see in a moment. But anybody that does go to Solid Ground or knows of anybody that goes to Solid Ground, you can pass that on. That will not be open on this Tuesday. The Summer Club, which is happening on the 7th, started on the Monday, the 7th of August, right through that week. Rebecca is holding on the 5th of August, on the Saturday night. She is holding a craft preparation at 4 p.m. in the halls. So she's asking anybody that can help with that to come along and be a part of that. And also, if anyone has any superhero themes in their homes, that would help to decorate the hall. They're very welcome to bring them along and give a hand in that. You know, whenever you get 70 or 80 kids coming along, you know, you really do need a lot of help. And you know, if you're only available maybe one or two nights, just say to Rebecca and she'll be more than happy to bring you along, because, you know, when kids come along, we don't want to turn them away because there's not enough of us there to help and to keep it safe. So do keep that in mind. And we're also going to have a Chinese on Saturday night. So there's a real emphasis for you to come along to that. Also, Corey's Fun Day is in August too. I think that's at the end of the Holiday Bible Club week. So there's sheets out there, folks. If you can bake, put your name down on it. If you can volunteer, if you can throw a burger up and down and try and cook it, volunteer, put your name down. You don't have to be there all day. You can be there just for someone. And when Christine comes back next week, it would be great if she could see them two sheets full of names. There's a few names on them, but, you know, it'd be great if there's more names. And it does take everybody to join in there and be a part of that. And also, as you come in this morning, you probably met a few folks out there in the festival. And they're what we call the welcome team. And if you would like to be a part of that welcome team, if you think you could do that, open the door and smile and say hello and just be a part of that team, you know, because they're the first people that people see when they come into the church. And if you feel you could be a part of that or want to be a part of that, well, then see Harold Campbell about that, and he will gladly put you onto the rota for that. It is with sadness that I have to announce the death of Freddie Clark, who passed away on Thursday past. The funeral will be from the church here on Tuesday at 1 p.m. And our thoughts and prayers are with Philip, Neil, Stephen, Norma, and Pauline, and the whole family circle. So do please keep them in your prayers. But let's open the service this morning with a few words from 1 Corinthians. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. Let us stand to worship God, and we're going to stand and we're going to sing a real rousing song, 10,000 Reasons, and I think Ellie's going to start us off just with a wee solo. But if we all stand and just join in after Ellie just sings her wee bit, okay? Thank you.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship him.
Great. It's always good to stand up here and listen to all the voices coming towards me. And that was brilliant. That was lovely. Now, this week, you've probably, if you've been through Grey Abbey, you've probably noticed a bunch of guys, and they've maybe had a big cage up, and they call themselves the Nomad Football Crew, and they come from Youth for Christ. And one of the guys that sort of runs that is called Stu. And Stu's going to come up and talk to us a wee minute here. I keep saying Stu's name wrong. I keep calling it Stu, as in T-E-T-S-T-E-W. There we go.
Hello? Is that on? Oh, it is. It is. It is.
You're with us now.
Stu.
Stu.
You.
Right.
Best way to spell it.
Right, Stu, tell us a wee bit about yourself and your family and how you came to faith.
So I'm Stu, or Stewardy, or Stuart. This is my wife, Lindsay, and my daughter, Mary, who is Mad. You'll probably get to know her during the service. She'll probably scream a wee bit. So that's my family. I've came to faith 10 years ago, so when I was 16. So I'm 26, getting old, getting greys and stuff. Greys and receding hairline's not good. So 26. I didn't come from a church background, so I had no connection with church growing up. Football was my main thing in life. Just before I went into secondary school, the local church in the area was doing a big outreach, and there was this massive game of football happening in the car park. And because of my love for football, I just swung into the car park and was like, can I play? And the guys there were just like, yeah, come on, join in, let's play. And it was the scrappiest, worst game of football you'll ever see, but it was so much fun. And then the leaders came up to me and were like, here, come back tonight. We're doing stuff for the church all week. It'd be great to see you. And there was nothing else on that week. So I grabbed the rest of my mates and we went up to the church. And this beautiful woman was there, this beautiful lady was there. And I was like, right, I'm going to stay here for the week. So that was the reason I sort of went back to the church, because there was loads of good looking girls at it. And the leaders were just really sound. The leaders were amazing. And they just shared their stories of what Jesus had done in their life. They did dramas and messy games. And I was always the kid who got up for the messy games, so I got always covered. But the leaders just really really took a shine to us and really wanted to invest in our lives. So I got the journey with them. They invited me back to church after that week. So we started going to church on a regular basis. All my friends were non-Christians. They had no connection with church. Maddie, shush. You're grounded. So we all ended up going to church. All these guys who are no connection with church ended up going for a number of years. And the leaders just kept on really investing in us. We were messers. We were there to annoy them, really. But they just kept on inviting us back into church week on, week out. And then I sort of messed up school. I didn't really try hard. And when I got my GCSE result that same week, the church was on, and I remember picking up my GCSE results, and the leaders were like, Stu, it's okay, God loves you. Although you've messed up in life, you've messed up your school life, it's okay, God loves you, and he's got a plan for your life. And I was like, no way. Like, my family, my other friends, they're all saying you're a failure. Like, what am I going to do with my life? But these Christian guys said, it's okay, God's got a plan for your life. So I ended up being a bricklayer. You were a bricklayer, weren't you? Or you're a labourer?
Everything.
I was going to be a bricklayer, not everything. I was going to be a bricklayer. So I was training for that for a year. And during that year, I was just really unhappy. I was just like, is this all my life is going to be? I don't really like the way my life is looking. The church guys ran an Alpha course that week, or that year after the outreach. And I went along to that and just really started to experience God through prayer. And was amazing. And then one night, I was out for coffee with my youth leader. And we were chatting about football and girls, who do you fancy, and all that sort of stuff, all the normal stuff. And then out of the blue, he was just like, Stu, where are you at with Jesus? What do you think of Jesus? And I was like, whoa, what are you trying to do? And then that night, I went back into my house, and I was lying in my bed, and thinking about my life, and going, where is my life going here? I don't really like the looks of where it's going. So I just asked God into my life, and that started a journey of following Jesus. So that's really about it. Yeah. Does that answer your question?
You just missed one thing, sadly, what? That you were a Liverpool supporter.
Oh, I'm a Liverpool fan. If it wasn't a Liverpool fan, I'd been homeless until an early age.
Tell us a wee bit about Youth for Christ and Nomad. What, you know, where did the name Nomad come from?
Great question. So Youth for Christ is an international movement. It's 130 countries, was it? A massive movement around the world. And they use different means and models of engaging with young people. British Youth for Christ, they were about to launch a skateboard ministry about 13 years ago. They had everything ready to go. And then they took their gap year team, their end of year retreat over to Holland. And out of the blue, they just seen these cages all over the country, all over Holland. They were like, that would be an amazing way of connecting with young people. And so the skateboard ministry was scrapped. And then they launched this football ministry. And basically, Nomad means traveler. So we just travel all over the place. We'll go anywhere you want. So that doesn't stand for an acronym. Is that what it means? There's no acronym. It's just Nomad means traveler. So we just travel.
Okay. Well, how did you get involved with it, Stu? And, you know, how long have you been doing it?
A long time. We're seeing her line. This is my ninth team I've been with Nomad. And so that summer, I was being a bricklayer, really unhappy. My friends were all going over to Soul Survivor, which is a big Christian festival, a wee bit like Summer Madness, if any of you guys have been to that over here. I wasn't meant to be going because I thought I would have a job, but I didn't have a job as a bricklayer at the time. And my youth leader said, you know what, there's still opportunities for you to come on this trip. Do you want to come? So I went home. And I priced it, and it was like a tenner dearer than all the flights that they originally booked. So I was like, yeah, I'll go for it. And then over at this festival, we were playing football in the tournament, and the cage football was at it. And then I was sitting in the stand with all the Northern Ireland boys, and this guy just randomly approached me and goes, what are you doing with your life? And I was like, well, who are you? It's a bit weird. Get away from me. And he's like, I work for British Youth for Christ, and we have a team called Nomad, and they travel all over the country telling people about Jesus. And I was just like, that sounds amazing. So I went home, told my mum and dad, who didn't know I was a Christian, who aren't Christians, and they were like, you want to go and work for a Christian charity? You have to pay money to do it. That's weird. Why are you doing that? And I was 17 as well, that was just an amazing journey. Thankfully, they let me go, and 10 years later, I'm still doing it over in the country.
Okay. Yeah. And lastly, Stu, I suppose this is maybe a bit more deeper question. What's your vision for the future of Nomad?
So, have you seen the cage most days? Yes. Cage is just a great visual tool, and it gets us into loads of cool areas. I'm nearly finished, man. I'm nearly finished. Part of the Nomad project over here is to try and pioneer long-term ministry. So on the Orange Peninsula for the last few years, we've been doing loads of focused work down here. And part of the hope out of that is that we would launch like a worker or a center. We don't know what that looks like, but we want to launch long-term ministry in this area. We would love to try that in different areas of this country to try and pioneer longer-term mission in Northern Ireland, all over the country. So we would love to do that. That would be part of the vision, to pioneer new areas in the country. We'd love to do more mission weeks. So this week we've done our great mission week in here, and we want to do more of those focus weeks. And just get out there and just share the good news as many young people as we can. Okay. Really?
Okay. Thanks very much, Stu. Brilliant.
Thank you.
100%. And I'd just like to thank also all those that helped out this week with the cage football, and those that did the catering for them, fed and watered them. That was brilliant. Okay, let's just come to God for a few moments in prayer. Let's pray. Faithful God, you always keep your promises. Your love for us is strong and constant. There is no other like you. This morning we come to worship you. We praise you for who you are. There is nothing that is too hard for you. There is nothing that is hidden away from your sight. You are always just and kind in your dealings with us. Heavenly Father, your name is awesome. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the biggest and the most beautiful and the most powerful. Yet you love to hear us sing and pray. Help us to worship you this morning. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing again. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. So let us stand and let us sing. Okay, I don't know whether you've probably the ones up in the gallery haven't seen, well, I suppose I would call them an unruly bunch of lads down here in their lellers. They call themselves the God Squad, and you would normally maybe see them running around in their fancy motorbikes that are shining, and I would have called them Hell's Angels, but there's... Steve is going to come up and tell us a wee bit about them and what they do and just how they can how they have a ministry. Okay, all right, Steve. Thanks very much.
Good morning. So yeah, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, a little bit about the journey, and a little bit about what God Squad's about and how I got there. You probably know this is something that Vic's getting involved in, so you might wonder what it's all about. So hopefully this will give you a little bit of an idea. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is rust. Anyone familiar with that from having an old car? So, you know, if something goes rusty, you can paint it over, look all right for a while, and then, sure enough, it's back. Or you can slap a bit of filler in, paint over it, and it'll look good for a while, but it'll still come back. And really, the only way to deal with rust is to cut it out completely and start again. And that's kind of a little bit of my story, really. So I became a Christian when I was 18. But like a lot of young lads, I didn't necessarily take it all that seriously. I went off to college and I was a typical student. But over a period of time, God started to talk to me and said, actually, you know, some of the things you've got to deal with, and you've got to deal with them properly. It's no good just slapping a coat of paint on and pretending it's all right, because it isn't. And so my journey really in faith has been from becoming a Christian to taking it more seriously, to taking it more seriously. And that's been a journey which God's talked to me over the years. And so it got to a point where, sure enough, I was out and about and I got into bikes as well and started riding around and enjoying myself. Got to the point where I sold my car. Actually, I haven't had one for about 30 years, my own car for about 30 years now. And I then met, I was off one day at a bike show and I met a group of guys and they were from another Christian club. And I got talking to them and I met up with them because they were near where I was from. And in all that process, God was talking to me more and more about taking faith seriously, taking him seriously, dealing with the things that needed to be dealt with and helping other people. And so through all that time, I learned more about bikes, more about fixing them. This friend of mine who was particularly influential used to say, you know, used to teach me things about mechanics like, hit it, it's not made of glass. But at the same time, actually, he was a great witness to actually living faith. And he'd be out just talking to people, and people would come around to him and say, oh, I'm not going to talk about God. And then they'd spend the next several hours talking about God. And he was a real influence in terms of, you know, actually living out your faith. So that's kind of a brief, very brief summary of how I got into taking my faith more seriously. And at the same time, say I was getting into more and more into bikes and different areas of bikes and everything from classics to trials to customs. But what I particularly felt called to was the custom side of biking and being in a club with friends and brothers. And then I felt really God calling me to be a headlight to these people who are lost in this world. Because no matter what world you're in, you can still be just as lost. So in Revelation 3, verses 19 to 21, it says, so those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. And that's a great promise for all of us that God will come and eat with us. So a little bit about God Squad. So God Squad's a Christian motorcycle club. So we're all Christians, all into our bikes. It's been in existence for around 45 years in Australia, with the first chapters in the UK formed in around 1995. We're here to help our friends in the bike clubs and those who live on the fringes of society to see that there is another way other than the life they're living. And, you know, to do that by example. It takes many forms. Besides the biking, some people are involved in prison visiting or helping with youth who are getting into trouble, and all kinds of things for the people who are on the fringes of society. Whether we've left behind lives of doing wrong or just not doing the right thing, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our background is, we're all testament to God's love and power to turn lives around. When we repent, we're all a testament to God's love and power to turn lives around. And when we repent, it's this that we set out to show those around us. So, you know, we're trying to show the guys around us there is another way, you know, there is another life. And no matter where we've been in life, or what's happened to us, or what we've done, Christ is there for us. And if in Ephesians 3, verse 12, it says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And that's what we want for all our friends, that they can approach Christ with freedom and confidence. So that's a little bit about, you know, what we're about and what we do. All right.
Thanks very much, Steve. So now, if you see these guys wandering about, go over and talk to them and you'll get a wee bit more information on their life and the things that they do. Okay, I think Chris is going to go up and do a reading for us now from God's Word.
Good morning, everyone. The reading for this morning is from Luke chapter 7, verse 18 to 22. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else to come?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead raised, and the good news is preached to the poor."
Okay, thanks, Chris. I suppose when we come to church, we can give in many ways, and I've already mentioned a few ways that we can give this morning. So now we're going to give in our tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. O Lord, we thank you for your steadfast love and mercy on us. Father, we believe that every word in the Bible was breathed by you. And we believe your promise that you will bless us when we are obedient to your word. And so without hesitation, we gladly give to you what is yours. Bless these tithes and these offerings. Father, we love you. Lord, amen. Okay, we're going to sing again. Lord, reign in me. Over all the earth, you reign on high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, and my only aim is that you reign in me again. So as you sing them songs, or you sing them words this morning, just let them sink into your mind and your heart, because we all want God to reign truly in our lives and to let him rule and direct us as we go through each day. So let us stand and let us sing. Thank you. I did forget to mention that there isn't any quake for C today. So hopefully yous will be fine in here. I see some young kids running around there. But if there is some of yous, there is a crash. If some of the young ones want to go out to it, it's just straight out this door, up the stairs, and there'll be somebody there to take your youngsters. Okay. Now Ben's going to come up and do prayers for others, and after Ben does that, Chris is going to come up and open God's word to us. Okay.
Let us pray. God, I'd just like to thank you for this week and for the opportunity we've had to play football and share your name, God. I just lift up each young person who came, and I pray that you will bless each of their homes and continue to move mightily in their lives. And God, I just pray for Youth for Christ as a whole. I pray for support for the many ministries they run. And just pray especially for their summer camp, which begins in a couple of weeks. God, I also want to lift up the CEF camp, which begins today in Port Stewart. I pray for safety for those attending, and that you would speak powerfully through all the leaders involved, God. I also want to pray for our own summer club here in Grey Abbey. I just pray that you can bring the final preparation together in the coming weeks. And God, I just want to thank especially this morning for all those involved in different summer teams and different summer ministries, God. And I just pray especially that you can just encourage them in their own walks with you, and that you would bless them with energy and good health as they serve you, maybe here locally or maybe far away, God. I just pray that you can keep each of them close to you at this time as they serve you. And God, I just want to thank you especially for bringing Victor and the God Squad here this morning. I just pray that you can continue to work through them and their ministry, God, and thank you for it. And God, just as Chris comes up to speak now, I just pray that you would just be with him, and I pray that his words would be your words, God, and that our ears would be open to hear them. And God, I just thank you that you do hear all our prayers. Thank you for this time this morning, God. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, folks. How are you? I feel a wee bit like Justin Bieber up here with my microphone, so if it feels a bit silly, you'll forgive me. Thanks so much for your welcome this morning. My name is Chris. I work for Youth for Christ all across Northern Ireland, and I get to be a part of what NOMAD does, as well as our other ministries and projects across the country. So I get the best job. I think I get to be a little part of lots of different things and celebrate all the things that are happening. It's been great to hear what NOMAD's been doing with you guys all during this past week. I come from Waringstown. Hands up if you've ever heard of Waringstown before. Yes, a few people. Oh, cheapers away, lots of people. That's brilliant. It's about the size of Grey Abbey, so maybe we've got this kindred spirit. It's down near Lurrican. And I'm married, I have two kids, a wee boy called Lucas and a wee girl called Carrie. And so if I look tired, that's probably the reason why. I'm not going to speak for too long this morning because I know there's lots of kids here, and maybe there's tea and coffee afterwards as well. So, but thank you again for the invite. Chris read for us earlier a little part from Luke chapter 7 about a guy called John. Lots of you have heard of John the Baptist. A cousin of Jesus, and really closely involved in lots of stuff that that Jesus was doing early on in his ministry. But I'll come back to that in a little second. I want to ask you a question first of all. Did you get any good news recently? Have you got any good news recently in the last week or over the summer? It's great when we get good news, isn't it? It can change your day. It can change your week or even maybe your year if you get really good news. And sometimes you get news that's so good, I don't know if you do this too, but you just want to fist pump or high five or shout. And if you're by yourself, that's okay. If you're in public, maybe it's a bit embarrassing. Maybe you pass your exams, and I'm sure some of you are hoping to get that good news in the next few weeks if you've done exams in June. Maybe you ask somebody out and they say yes, or you ask somebody to marry you and you say yes. That's exciting, that's good news. Maybe you get a new baby brother or baby sister, or a friend has a baby and there's a new baby in your life, and that's great news to have and to share. A few weeks ago, I got a call from a nursery to tell me that my son Lucas, this is him here, had got a place in a nursery school, and previously we had thought that he wasn't going to get a place, and so we were disappointed and we were sad. And if you're a parent, you'll maybe understand that. And we were making new other arrangements for childcare and all that kind of stuff. And then I got a call just at the very end of June, way after it was all closed, to say actually I got into a local nursery school. And my whole year looked different because, and some of you are laughing, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. My whole year now looks different from September onwards. And I was driving, I just started tooting the horn and like just high-fiving the person who was beside me, didn't know what I was talking about. And it was just really, really good news. And of course, the first thing I did was ring my wife and shared that news with her as well. But you'll know too, don't you, that you don't only just get good news. Sometimes you get news that is not good, and it can change your week, and it can change your year as well, in a different way. So maybe you get exam results that are less than what you were hoping for. Maybe your girlfriend dumps you, or your boyfriend breaks up with you via text, and that's just bad news to get on your phone. Maybe somebody close to you gets sick, and maybe even somebody close to you dies, and that changes your whole life in an instant. And so that's it. We get good news and we can get bad news. And it's not just in our own lives too. We look at the world around us, don't we? And we see that actually the world around us is filled with good things and with bad things. We can watch the news, we can read online, and you don't have to look too hard to see this range of good stuff and of bad stuff. So obviously the worst news I got recently was Chelsea winning the league and United coming sixth. That was just a really, really bad news day. I don't even know where Liverpool finished, don't care. But obviously more seriously than that, there's conflicts, people get hurt, people get sick, people are mistreated, and it can feel like the world is just in a mess, and the news is only filled with bad things. But if you really look hard, you see that the world is full of good news too, don't you? People still have fun. People still get better when they get sick. People still fall in love and get married, and you celebrate that. People still do selfless things. I don't know if you heard the story of that young man who rescued the couple whose car had gone into the water. Did you see that? A young man who had nothing to do with those people, who put his own life at risk. And this sense of selfless, this sense of shared humanity that I thought was a really good news story. Maybe some of you watch the TV show Long Lost Families. If you watch that, my wife and I like it. I cry at it all the time. It's just about Davina McCall tries to get people together who have been separated. And there was one recently where a mother, two daughters and a mother were reunited after 40 years, separated because of conflict somewhere else in the world, reunited after 40 years. And that is a good news story because that's about relationship, about restoration, about reconciliation. And so our lives are filled with good news and bad news, and the world is filled with good news and bad news. And if you've been alive for any length of time, I think you'll know that from your own experience too. And I wonder this morning where you see Jesus fitting into that. Is Jesus in your life a good news story or a bad news story? Is Jesus in this world at large a good news story or a bad news story? I have friends who would say to me that it's the latter. Jesus is bad news. Sure, being a Christian is just about keeping rules and feeling bad most of the time because you can't keep them. And certainly not having fun, certainly not taking risks, certainly not doing what you want. And if that's right, if that person's right, then that sounds like bad news to me as well. And I think sometimes we don't do ourselves any favors. Sure, we don't, by making people think that Jesus is bad news. There's a poster up on a tree, near where I live on the side of the road. And maybe that kind of thing happens here as well. And in a big red poster on a tree is this: for the wages of sin is death. And obviously it's a reference from Romans 6:23. In other words, the payment you get for your sin is death, just as you work and you get a wage in return for that. So our sin brings us to a certain place. And that sounds like bad news to me. It sounds like bad news because I know in my heart I sin. I know that I mess up. I know that my attitude so often is stinking. I know that this morning when I woke up, I was grumpy with my kids because I was tired. And I thought to myself, that is my selfish nature coming through. And I said to God, no thanks, God, I'll go my own way. Stay out of this part. I'll take charge here. And that's my sinful attitude, my sinful actions. And if that was all that I knew about Jesus, I would say that he is bad news, because that's what we get, and he gives it somehow, and we think that that's bad news, and it would be. But it's not all we know. In the passage we read earlier, this guy, John, Jesus' cousin, he was given this special job from God to prepare the way for Jesus coming, to prepare people to hear what he had to say. And so he traveled around, he told people that someone greater was coming. Someone was coming who was going to do amazing things. Someone was coming who was going to actually get rid of bad news and bring in good news permanently. And so John sends people to Jesus, and this is picking up where Chris was reading. John sends people to Jesus to basically say, Jesus, are you the one that we're waiting for? Are you the one that I'm getting people ready for, or should we keep waiting? And we read this earlier. Jesus says to John's friends, go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And so for the blind who see, and the lame who can walk, and the lepers who are healed, and the deaf who can hear, and the dead who are raised, obviously Jesus is good news. Imagine if you were blind and could see one day. That would be one of those good news days that would change your whole life. Or you were lame and suddenly you could walk again. That would be a good news day. And for John, that was enough. That was enough for him to see who Jesus really was. But what about you and me today? Is Jesus good news for us? Maybe we don't need our sight given back. What is Jesus for us today? Back to my poster in the tree, for the wages of sin is death. Honestly, what winds me up about this poster when I drive past it, yes, it's from the Bible, so that's okay, but actually it's only half a story. It's a bad news story, this poster, and it annoys me that somebody put this on a tree without giving you the second half of the story. It's a bit like reading through a kid's story or watching a movie and stopping halfway through before you get to the happy ending. And that just does my head in, actually. We love Trolls in my house. Hands up anybody likes Trolls. A few people. Imagine watching Trolls and you get near the end where they've all got into this big cook pot. The Bergens have captured them all. And remember when Poppy goes all gray because she's very sad? Remember that bit? Imagine stopping there before the happy ending where they all sing and dance and everybody's happy and friendly again. It'd be an awful, awful movie, wouldn't it? I love Lord of the Rings. I love reading it. I love watching it. Imagine reading or watching that and stopping near the end before Frodo gets to the mountain, throws the ring, and the Sauron's defeated, and everybody's happy, and the world's good and made right again. That would be a bad story, and we need happy endings in stories, and those are the ones that connect with us the most. And the verse on the tree is only half the story, and the second half is this. The whole story is this: for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. That's true. I'm not saying that's not true, but it's only half the story. If we stop there, we only have bad news to share with people. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is what I call good news. And that's the good news that Jesus was preaching when John sent his friends to ask if he was the one. The free gift of God is eternal life, which means, yes, life when we die in a way we can't even understand, but also means life now with Jesus in a better way than we can understand too. Elsewhere in the Bible, Jesus tells his followers that he has come to give them life in all its fullness. John 10:10, you know that verse, I'm sure. He's not talking there about heaven. He's not talking about something amazing that's coming. He does that elsewhere. He's talking about our day-to-day life, being deeper and fuller and more meaningful with Jesus than without him. And if you have ever asked the question, what is life all about? And you've watched the news and you've seen the state the world's in, what is life all about? Then Jesus here says, this is what life's all about. This is the good news that I come to share with you, that I have a free gift to give you, and it's eternal life. Full life now and everlasting life later. I want to leave you with a challenge. It's time for you to make your mind up about Jesus. John had to go and figure out who he was, and John was a very significant person. We, each of us, need to make our mind up about Jesus. For John, the evidence that he saw, the things he heard, convinced him of who he was. He knew that Jesus was good news, and he didn't want to get in the way of that, so actually he said, he must increase and I must decrease. They were part of the same team, and John said, right, Jesus, over to you. I'm getting out of the way now. You're the one I'm waiting for. And I know that some of you today, I'm sure, have already made your mind up about Jesus. You have taken him at his word. You've accepted this free gift that he gives us. You've recognized that life without Jesus is only a half life. It's not a full life. And you've said, Jesus, take all of my life and make it yours. Then my challenge for you is this. Go and be good news people. Go and be good news people. Elsewhere in Matthew 10, Jesus tells us to go and shout about him from the rooftops. Go and be good news people. Shout about him on the rooftop. When I found out my son got in the nursery, I phoned my wife straight away. If you get good news, you phone somebody or you put it on Facebook really quickly so people know and people can rejoice with you. Don't give the people of Grey Abbey any excuse to think that Jesus is bad news. Because honestly, if they think he's bad news, it's your fault. And in my hometown, it's my fault. If people here think Jesus is bad news, we're not doing our job, right, as Christians. Be good news, people. And sometimes, honestly, that's just about having a smile on our face and not being dour people. Sometimes Christians get the reputation for being like that. Be good news, people. And if you haven't made your mind up about him, let me encourage you to do that, to explore where Jesus fits in to your life. Do not take a friend's word for it, like my friend who thinks Jesus is nothing but bad news. He doesn't know him. He doesn't know him yet. Don't even take my word for it. My experience of Jesus and my interactions with him and my life experience. Go and ask Jesus for yourself. Jesus, where do you fit in my life? So go home, sit in silence and say to Jesus, Jesus, show me whether you're good news or not. And he will take you at your word and he'll do that. I pray that you will find the Jesus that I know and that lots of people here know. The Jesus that gives us life in all his fullness. The Jesus that is good news and not bad news. The Jesus that gives us a full life of freedom and of purpose and of fullness. Let me just pray for us before we finish. I thank you, Lord, that you're good news for us. Lord, we have a wage to collect and it's death, ultimately. But I thank you that the story doesn't stop there, but you give us this free gift. And Lord, I thank you that whether we are 5 or 95, we can still pick up this free gift that you give to us. Your hands are still open before us, offering us life, now and always. Lord, help each of us to ask the question where you fit into our lives. Are you good news for us or not? And Lord, I pray that we would leave different today because we've heard from you, Holy Spirit, speaking to us, speaking into our heart, leading us and guiding us, Lord. Lord, for this church here, help them to be good news people. I pray for their interactions with their neighbors, with people in shops and on the street here in Grey Abbey. I pray, Lord, that no one here would think bad of Jesus because they think so much of the people in this church and in other churches here. And that we would soon see a harvest of lives changed and won for you, Jesus. in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chris. You know, Chris talked about good news there, and you know, the Nomad team all week were telling the kids good news, and it was great to see that. And also, while that was going on, there was a schism going on down in Clocky, where they had over 100 kids there, and at least two of them gave their life to the Lord. Hallelujah. In this last song that we're singing, you know, there's been a lot of people up talking here this morning, but let us never forget. It's called Beautiful Savior, Wonderful Counselor, Clothed in Majesty, Lord of History. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Star of the morning, glorious in holiness. You're the risen one, and you reign over all. So let us stand and let us sing to God. Just before we started that song, I just seen Laura disappearing there. Just remember, Laura, in your prayers, Laura heads to Uganda today to do mission work. So just remember Laura and the team as well. Let us bow our heads. Lord, as we come from a congregation that is gathered to a congregation that is dispersed, May you be with us. May you let your light shine through us. And Father God, may we go and shine and talk the good news for you. And may the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. In Jesus' name.